hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, we serve an awesome God. We serve an amazing, awesome God. Hallelujah. You can just add word after word. He is stupendous. He is miraculous. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is first and last. He is my provider. He is King and Lord of all. He is awesome. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is truthful. He is loving. He is long-suffering. Hallelujah. He's whatever you need him to be today. He's the I am. I am that I am. Hallelujah. I am excited about what God is doing. Harvest Time Worship Center. Hallelujah. What he's doing in your life. Amen. Amen, amen. We have several out today. I know it's school is fixing to start and everybody's getting in their last minute trips. But we are here. And he is here. And before today is over, whatever need or whatever situation you are facing, would you just give it to Jesus today? Stop looking in your rearview mirror and start going forward. It's simple. Quit looking back and start moving ahead. Amen. If you'd like to stand this morning, I want to turn our attention quickly to Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so they that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, heresies, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning about the flesh versus the Spirit. Pinch yourself. Pinch yourself. You feel that? That is called flesh. That's flesh. I am a prisoner in this mortal body of flesh. The flesh versus the Spirit. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, bless us, God. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will this morning. I give you praise in advance for what you are doing in our church. I thank you, Lord, for every home, every man, woman, and child that is represented here today. Open your word, O God, to us today. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Every Christian will experience the conflict between the natural and the spiritual man. We can only know true victory when the flesh is subject to the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The flesh versus the spirit. Battles have been fought, which have established many empires over the course of history and time. Wars have been won that have changed the history of continents and kingdoms and societies and cultures. But no war has ever had more at stake than the one in which Christians are involved today. The struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Various terms have been used to describe the flesh. The flesh has been described as the unregenerated state of men. It is the condition of a person, man or woman, a person who has not been born again or filled with the Holy Ghost. We are either under God's control or under our own control. Yeah. We are either led by the Spirit or we are led by the flesh. Yeah, there is no in between. There is no purgatory or gray area. It is literally black or white. It is literally heaven or hell. You're not going to be lukewarm and make it. You are either hot or cold. One of the two, Romans 8 and 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." How many want to go to heaven? Yeah, everybody's hands go up to go to heaven. And we live in a society that we want the benefits and the rewards of life and going to heaven. It sounds right. But the selfish, sinful nature is seen everywhere around us. It just comes out naturally when you were born. Not only did you begin to die the day you were born, but that flesh and those sinful lusts and desires were being born also. And wherever we find people, we find a demonstration of flesh. Yeah, it is seen in the child who screams to have his own way. And I've come to realize with gravity, if children scream to get their own way, they'll either scream until they get their way, or they'll scream until you just finally, they realize, hey, he ain't budging. He said no, and he meant no. My dad used to say the hardest word in the English language was two letters, N-O, no. That's the hardest word in the English language. It's hard for us to say no, not only to a child or, "Oh, well, I would never. Brother Gidrow, no, you just put them in line. Wait till it's your little Johnny or Susie." And then you're like, "Pastor, how dare you? Preacher, how dare you? Youth man, how dare you?" Flesh. It's found in a teen child who will sell themselves for dope or advancement or career. It is found and evident, the flesh in the adult who will take and steal from their boss or their employer. The sin nature is prominent in the playground, in the sports arena. The flesh will make itself known on the job. It binds even the home. The flesh will come out, and the sinful nature both binds and blinds mankind. Sinful habits hold us captive. And as sinners, people grope in spiritual darkness while rejecting the light and the truth. The flesh will begin to justify whatever it does. Oh, everyone here has made an excuse for yourself at some. Well, I said that because I really didn't mean it like, yes, you did. You meant it exactly how you said it. Flesh. But we'll begin to justify though, and you'll make a cutting remark to somebody and we'll justify that. And then someone will lie and I said that because I thought they did this. And they'll pardon their lie and their conscience of those who steal. They begin to excuse their actions. Well, you know, he owed me that. I deserve that. Well, you know, I had a lady tell me that I haven't got a raise in 10 years. Doesn't give you the right to step out in flesh and take what is not yours. Maybe it's the adulterous husband or wife who steps out on their significant other. Maybe it's the drunkenness. You know, they say, well, it's just a little fault. I just had a social drink. It's just a little, it's a disease. That's the word in today's politically correct society. Well, it's a disease. They are born with that. Well, yeah, they are. With flesh, with sin, with a sin nature. We're talking about flesh versus the spirit. Flesh versus the spirit. It has begun from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. I'm here to tell you there is victory over the deceptive ways of the flesh, and it is available to those who will walk in the Spirit. We can be overcomers. Conquest over lower natures will not come easily, nor will it come by simply denying the power of the flesh. Conquest will only come when we confront our enemy, when we confront the devil, when we confront ourselves, our flesh, and earnestly engage in spiritual warfare. Yeah. The battle between the flesh and the spirit rages on and on. No truce or negotiation will work out. No settlement is possible in this struggle. There is no just and no room for compromise. The adversaries and forces are fighting and they are trying to pull us down and distract us. And well, I don't live like that. And I come to church faithful and I live for God. And for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Flesh and spirit. The flesh is always tempting. It's always reaching. It's always trying to pull you down. From what you should do. Those desires. Those lusts, those thoughts try to pull you backwards. I want to talk a little bit about the law of the flesh. The law of the flesh. What is a law? A law has power. If an officer pulls you over and says, excuse me, sir, may I see your driver's license and registration? You obey the law and you look up and you say, yes, sir. Was I speeding? You know you were speeding. But you immediately become submissive and pliable because the officer is standing there, license and registration. You can say no. You won't like the end results. But there is a law to the flesh. There is a law in life. It controls and restricts and prohibits. The Apostle Paul was well aware that there was a force working in his body that ran counter to his best intentions. He had discovered that even when he would do good, there was a principle operative that caused him to do evil. This principle law was activated by his fleshly nature. Every one of us have a fleshly nature. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you are not flesh. You are flesh. You have lust and desires. Your mind and heart can conceive things that are evil because you're flesh. The flesh, Paul found, brought him into captivity. And the Mosaic law was powerless to set him free. Some people thought that Paul was speaking in Romans 7 about his life as a Pharisee before his conversion. Still others say that it illustrates the condition of every sinner without Christ. Certainly it pictures an individual, whether a believer or not, who depends on his own ability and strength to overcome sin. As human beings, we do not have power in ourselves. We cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot live a victorious life without God. You have to have God in the equation to get the proper answer. If you keep living the same way you've always been living, you will keep getting the same result you have always gotten. You have got to put God in the problem and make God the answer to your problem and your fleshly ways of life. To be ourselves and be victorious, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to admit, even as Christians, there are times, as Paul expressed it in Romans 7 and 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Possibly the greatest Christian, the greatest apostle to ever walk the face of the earth, and here he is, the good that I would, I don't do that, but the evil that I would not, that's what I end up doing. And after it's over, you wake up and you realize, my God, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I do? It's called flesh. We have discovered to our dismay that nothing good dwells in our flesh. We have discovered that prayerlessness and carelessness activate the sinful nature of us as man. One godly pastor said this: the old man has been buried, but sometimes he comes back to life. What's the old saying? You got up on the wrong side of the... Sometimes the old man gets out of the bed. I used to watch my dad and his mouth. You know, kids watch adults, whether you think so or not. But I would watch him and we would be doing whatever. And in all situations I've seen, and his mouth would be moving. What are you saying? I'm just talking to Jesus. It's okay. And he would find himself speaking out loud. I got in the vehicle the other day coming out of Walmart. My wife was in the car and she was laughing at me. And she said, "You're crazy." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Do you realize from the front door to the door of the truck, you were talking and moving your hands? And what were you saying?" I said, "I was just talking to myself. I couldn't tell you. But I picked up what I saw him do." What am I trying to say? A rub-a-dub-dub prayer before you go to bed isn't good enough. We should have a constant relationship and communication with God. Thank you to everyone who was in the prayer meeting this morning. It is awesome to be in the presence of God before the service ever starts. What are we doing? We are pulling our flesh into submission. And saying, flesh, world, pressures of life, things that we have going on, we're setting you aside and we are getting focused with tunnel vision on Jesus and Him crucified. We've got to pull our flesh into submission. And that's a daily relationship with God. We have got to work on it every day. Education and reason cannot overcome flesh. Both fall victim to flesh. Paul, though highly trained in scriptures in Romans 7 and 23, wrote, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Religions fail. Philosophy dissatisfies. Psychology disappoints. There is simply nothing devised by men that can solve the age-old problem of sin. It takes the power of the Almighty to effectively overcome the flesh. It is time for us, Harvest Time Worship Center, to get full of the Holy Ghost and the presence of God. It is time for us to have a daily communication with God. It is time for us to walk upright, circumspectly. It is time for us to not only walk in truth, but to let the light of truth shine from our lives. People are watching you. People see you. These children see you. If you're not willing to pray,